Let's take a few minutes and pay attention to the Torah reading from this week. This week's Parsha is Parshat Shmini, Parshat 8, or 8. It describes that moment when the Kohanim, the priests, were beginning their service and ministry to God at the tabernacle. And we read at our Torah service this morning how the offering was placed on the altar at the end of this period of consecration, and then fire came down from heaven and consumed the offering. It was a marvelous and unprecedented thing. Also in this Torah portion, we read about something tragic that happened right afterwards. Two of the priests who were being inaugurated into ministry were killed. They were sons of Aaron, Nadav and Avihu in the south here. You might know them as Nadab and Abihu. But Nadav and Avihu, and they died because they offered strange fire to the Lord. And it was right after this period when the priests were inaugurated, and there was such an incredible outpouring of God's presence through the fire, and the people sensed it and shouted to the Lord. The shofars were sounded, and the people even bowed down before the Lord. But Nadav and Avihu did something that was not only not asked for, it was something that was forbidden. They offered strange fire. The scripture doesn't really explain what that strange fire was, but it makes the comment they did what God had not commanded them to do. And so they were taking some initiative upon themselves without consultation with Aaron, their father, and the high priest, or with Moses, their uncle, who had inaugurated them into this position. And the sages draw some conclusions, two basic conclusions connected to this. One of them is that the Nadav and Avihu wanted to usurp the authority of their elders, their father and the others, and that they were plotting how they could put themselves in a position that was inappropriate. And so God took severe action in order to stop that, because it was a certain kind of rebellion. And the other thing is, the sages say that these two men came before the Lord while they were intoxicated. They draw that conclusion from a statement that's in the Torah reading, where right after Nadav and Avihu are killed and there's this period of processing, then the word comes that says the priest must never come to the sanctuary after having drunk wine or intoxicating beverage. They must never come to minister after having drunk. And the sages draw a connection between that statement and Nadav and Avihu and say not only did they offer strange fire, but they came drunken before the Lord. And this kind of drunkenness was absolutely forbidden. Now, there was a kind of drunkenness that was permitted, and that happened on Shavuot, when the Holy Spirit was poured out on Messianic Jews, and they began to speak in tongues. And some of the folks, in fact, thousands of people in Jerusalem took such a notice of it. And were trying to understand what was going on, because it was so fascinating to them. And some of the detractors said, well, those guys are drunk. And the Messianic Jews said, well, we're not drunk like you think. And their explanation was, it's way too early for us to be this drunk this early. Which is interesting comment. But they actually said, we're not drunk in the way that you think, because it's the Holy Spirit who's come upon us. We're not just babbling. We're actually speaking by the Holy Spirit. So we'll talk about that in the days and the weeks to come, because we are in the period that's called the counting of the Omer, which is really countdown to Shavuot. And Shavuot commemorates at least two things. One of them is the giving of Torah and Sinai, and the other is the giving of the Holy Spirit, both of which happened on the same day at the same time and are complementary to each other. Now, in looking at Nadav and Avihu, we can draw some conclusions, and some of the sages said that there are two basic conclusions to draw from the death of these two men. And the first one is sort of a negative. You got to stay away from certain things. Stay away from what's abominable. Stay away from what defiles you. Because sometimes you can get into a lot of trouble despite the good you do if you choose abominable things or things that will defile you before God. And so there's a severe warning to all of us that we need to stay away from such negative things as can lead to our destruction. And then there's the positive side, which is we've got to pursue what's good. So we have to know what is good and pleasing to the Lord and pursue that. And it's these two things together that help us grow in our relationship with God and help us stay right with Him. Now, there's a rabbi, Pinchas ben Yair, who has a formula for how things go progressively. And he was writing in Hebrew, but I'll read to you an English translation. This is his step-by-step plan. He says, heedfulness, that means paying attention. Heedfulness leads to cleanness. Cleanness leads to purity. Purity leads to holiness. Holiness leads to humility. Humility leads to dread of sin. Dread of sin leads to saintliness. And saintliness, he says, leads to the possession of the Holy Spirit. Saintliness will cause you then to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So that's his perspective. In other words, the Holy Spirit is given to those who have finally attained a high level of godliness. Now, there's another perspective, and I want to share that one with you. It's this, that the Holy Spirit is given in order to bring us higher in our godliness. It's not given to a select few who rise to the highest spiritual level, but it is given to everyone who sincerely seeks the Lord and who wants to go further with God. So in Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair's understanding, the Holy Spirit's given because we've already attained so much godliness. In this other perspective, the Holy Spirit is given to enable us to attain more of God. Now, this is very, very important because it helps us understand why the Holy Spirit is poured out on new believers in the book of Acts, and not necessarily on those who have reached the highest level already. I want to draw from one of our readings today. I hadn't planned to, but this touched me so much, I just want to make this a point of emphasis. And it's in the book of Acts chapter 10. Starting in verse 34, Peter's in Caesarea speaking to the household of Cornelius, a group of Gentiles who have summoned him in order to explain to them how they can be saved. They are not Gentile, they are not Jews, but they know that the Jewish Messiah is the key to their salvation. And so follow along with me as I read to you from Acts chapter 10, starting in verse 34. Peter opened his mouth and he said, "In truth, I perceive God shows no partiality. But in every nation, and look at this, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. Whoever fears him and lives righteously is accepted by him." So what are the conditions for acceptance that Peter is saying right now? It has to do with fearing God. And it has to do with living in a way that is harmonious with that fear of God. So you not only fear God in your heart, but you act with the fear of the Lord. And then he goes on. "The word which God sent to the children of Israel," which is that word? It's the gospel, the good news. "Proclaiming shalom through Yeshua HaMashiach, he is Lord of all." Now, when Peter is saying that, he is saying he is Adonai for everyone. That word you know. So he's saying to the Gentiles, God sent a word to the children of Israel, but you Gentiles know this already. That's why you've invited me to come. It was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the immersion in water which John proclaimed. And here's the word. He outlines it. How God anointed Yeshua of Nazareth. Now, I want to start a new practice in the congregation for the purpose of teaching you how to discern something about the Hebrew and something about the language of the Jewish people. And whenever the Bible text is using Yod Heh Vav Heh, that four-letter special name of God, instead of just translating it as God or Lord, I'm going to start saying Hashem, which means the name, which calls our attention to it. And it's not because I think that there's some supernatural value in doing that, but rather so that you can understand what the text is actually saying. Because where it says how God anointed in the English, common English translations, that would say how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. Now you would get the idea that God and Jesus are completely distinct from that translation. And yet, in the Hebrew that's throughout the Tanakh and throughout the speaking of the apostles, it's not like that, because it's saying how Hashem anointed Yeshua. And I'm going to show you the importance of this in the weeks and months to come. So how Hashem anointed Yeshua of Nazareth with Haruach. So now do you see God in three distinct ways here, but they're all moving together? Hashem, sometimes you would say the Father. Yeshua, you'd say the Son. Haruach, you'd say the Spirit. So this is all God in the eyes of the Jewish people. It's different aspects, different the Romans tried to capture what the Jews were saying and called it personas. But then English speakers took that word persona and turned it into another English word, person. And then that makes it even harder. Persona is better because you can have one person with multiple personas. And we understand that. But to have multiple persons, it gets confusing with people. Better to use the idea that God in his unity and his diversity is being expressed to us here as Hashem, Yeshua, and Haruach. So he went about doing good in healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for Hashem was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Him, Yeshua, Hashem raised up on the third day. So when does Peter say Yeshua was raised up? This is useful for people who are trying to do like a chronology of resurrection and Passover. He was raised up on the third day. And showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, by Hashem, even to us, who ate and drank with Yeshua after he rose from the dead. And Yeshua commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by Hashem to be judge of the living and the dead. To Yeshua, all the prophets of Israel witness that through his name, whoever believes in Yeshua will receive forgiveness of sins. So that's Peter's preaching to the Gentiles. It said, while he was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And those Gentiles got filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in tongues. And as a result, Peter gave them immersion into water. Usually that immersion was reserved only for people who had fulfilled all the requirements of conversion to Judaism, which for the men included circumcision, but he didn't do that. I'm not wanting to focus on that main point. I'm wanting to focus on something very, very simple, that the Holy Spirit was poured out on these people at the beginning of their hearing. They were not mature. They didn't know the answer to the question, how can we be saved? They knew the direction to go in to get the answer, call one of the followers of Yeshua. But they didn't know what the answer was. Peter gave a part of the answer. But the Holy Spirit gave another part. The other part is this, that salvation is connected to God establishing his sanctuary in you. That your trust in Yeshua makes a way that you become a little temple for God, a place where the Holy Spirit can live. And the language of the scripture says this, that Yeshua died, he rose from the dead, he accomplished a cleansing in the heavenly temple, of which the Jerusalem temple was a replica. And then when he ascended into heaven, the Father gave him the promise, which is Haruach. Now, what that would look like, I have no idea. But these are the English words to try to make them accessible to us, to describe something that only in heaven will we get a full understanding of. And maybe it'll take all of eternity to get that understanding. But the Father gave Yeshua the Spirit to pour out on the world. And then Yeshua, as he desired, started pouring the Holy Spirit out. First, he poured the Holy Spirit out on Messianic Jews who were waiting for the Holy Spirit. Then he allowed those Messianic Jews to gather the attention of thousands of Jewish men and women who had gathered in Jerusalem on Shavuot. And they wanted to know, what is the meaning of this speaking in tongues and this outpouring of the Holy Spirit? And Peter gives them an explanation for the meaning. So Peter now is beginning to see the significance and the essential quality that the outpouring of the Holy Spirit plays. You see, Peter is understanding the Holy Spirit is to be given to people at the beginning, not at the end. You don't mature to the place where now you're worthy of the Holy Spirit. You get to that place where you are empty before God and he will fill you. Where you are open to anything God wants, and first of all, he wants to give you of himself. And where you have 1,000 questions and no ways to get answers, but he will come and take up residence in you and then tutor you. In the same way, the scriptures say, that the Tanakh is a tutor for us, which is personal, personalized instruction. But now it's not just written word, now it's the living one who animates the written word. Because all of the Tanakh was given by the inspiration of who? The Holy Spirit. You see? So now, I mean, we always think of God as having written the Torah, but we also think of Yeshua as being the Torah and giving the Torah. But it's also the Holy Spirit, because God in his fullness gives us everything. Clear enough? And so now that Tanakh has tutored you to a certain point, now the Holy Spirit, Haruach, is going to take up your tutorial. And he is going to become your new mentor. Using the word, but using personal presence and guidance from the inside out, according to the new covenant. Are you with me on all of this? And all of this is connected to one simple reality, and this is the death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of Yeshua. All these things that are possible are because of Yeshua having come down from heaven. So we can actually say the descent of Yeshua from heaven to earth. The presence of Yeshua on the earth. His fulfilling two important sacrificial roles. One is as Pesach and the other is as Kippur. Pesach as the offering that redeems us into God's freedom, and Kippur as the offering that covers and atones for our sins. And the two are connected. Because one deals with the negative, the hindrances, and the other deals with the positive, the good parts. They work together. Man, I'd love to go on and on about this. But I want to conclude with Peter's message in Jerusalem on Shavuot, because it's tied to this week's Haftorah. In 2 Samuel 7, a prophetic word comes to King David saying, I know you want to build a house for me, but I don't want you to build a house for me. Your son will do that. But I want to build a house out of you. I want to make you into the reigning house over Israel. And one of your descendants is always going to be present for the rulership over Israel. Now, from that idea contained in the word to David came another understanding, which was that Messiah would be son of David. And Yeshua often would speak to people, and he'd ask them this question, whose son will Messiah be? Who will Messiah be the son of? And everyone, scribes, Pharisees, every kind of Jew had the same answer. Messiah will be the son of David. And so then Yeshua says, well, how can it be then? He's sort of like this. How can it be that if Messiah is the son of David, that David would say, the Lord said to my Lord? What kind of son is Messiah then? It was one of those brilliant Jewish ways of teaching where you ask a question that just is so provocative and so deep that you don't have to argue. You don't have to raise all sorts of points. You just raise this question, and people were stunned by it. Peter remembers that, and on Shavuot, he uses exactly the same approach. I'm going to read to you Acts 2. And this is how I want to conclude. This is on Shavuot. Remember earlier we were reading from Acts 10 when Peter, who is apostle to Jews, is out with Gentiles proclaiming to them the good news and they receive the Holy Spirit. Now look at this. Acts 2:29. Brothers. Remember he's speaking to thousands of Jewish people who have gathered around in the area of the temple. I may confidently say to you regarding the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. We all know King David is dead. And so because he was a prophet and he knew that Hashem had sworn to him with an oath to seat one of his descendants on his throne, and he looked ahead and he spoke of the resurrection of Messiah, that Messiah was neither abandoned to Sheol, nor did his flesh suffer decay. Then Peter says, this Yeshua, Hashem, has raised up again, to which we are all witnesses. For this reason, having been exalted to the right hand of Hashem, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, Yeshua has poured forth this, which you both see and hear. This outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Because it was not David who ascended into heaven, but it was Yeshua himself. Because David says, and then Peter is quoting from Psalm 110, the Lord said to my Lord. And in the Hebrew, it's Hashem said to Adonai. Very unusual construction. Yod He Vav He said to Adonai, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know for sure that Hashem has made Yeshua both Adonai and Mashiach, both Lord and Messiah. This simple idea, Yeshua is Adonai and Mashiach, this is foundational to Messianic Judaism. That Mashiach is the son of David is also foundational to all Judaism. And that Yeshua, who was born into a human body, was actually Hashem, the Lord, Adonai, coming down from heaven, taking up residence inside flesh and blood, so that he could be a sacrifice. Yes, a Kippur. So that he could be a Pesach, the Lamb of God. But one more reason, and this is so important for us to grasp, so that he could present to you and to me a picture of what humanity would look like if God was in us. Because what Yeshua accomplished when he ascended, after his victory over sin and death, is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. You and I, the world, will never be the same when we invite the Holy Spirit in to fill us up, to immerse us in Him. When we start receiving the supernatural giftings of the Holy Spirit, not just impartations, but He is able to turn you into a little sanctuary. Here's the thing. He's also able to strike you dead. Nadav and Avihu. It's up to us. Same calling. Do you see? Same ministry. Same family. Same community. So my encouragement to you is to be simple like Cornelius and his guys. What must we do? To be simple like the Jews at Shavuot. Our hearts are touched. What must we do? And the message is always the same. Turn away from all evil. Turn towards all good. Forsake everything that can defile you. Forsake everything that's abominable. Fear the Lord and live righteously before Him. Receive Yeshua's sacrifice. Everything will proceed from there. And God will pour His Holy Spirit into you. The counting of the Omer has begun. And I want you to perceive this as countdown to Shavuot. So while the disciples were in the upper room waiting, they were also counting. Because all Jews were counting. Because that's what Jews did. Between Pesach and Shavuot is countdown. Countdown to Shavuot. What's going to happen next? Prepare yourself. Some of you will be filled with the Holy Spirit during the countdown. Some of you will be filled with the Holy Spirit at Shavuot. But let it be that no one finishes this period anticipating Shavuot without the Holy Spirit. Why even try? Yeshua said to his disciples regarding the Holy Spirit, don't leave home without Him. After you receive the Holy Spirit, then you can be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. Don't even try without Him. People say, but I don't deserve the Holy Spirit. Exactly. So how can you qualify yourself? Repentance towards God. Trust in God and a commitment to follow Him. Trusting Yeshua's blood sacrifice, dedicating yourself to Him, and then giving yourself over to obedience to Him. I stop. Lord, let it be that we take the word into our hearts, and we allow it to be engraved on our hearts and our minds, and we receive your tutorial and your mentorship by the Holy Spirit. Take these things that we've looked at, Lord, and use them for our good. Open our hearts and our minds to you, that we would see how different we can become with the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, empowering us for good and for faith and faithfulness. In Yeshua's name, amen. Let's close with Aaron's blessing. Don't stand by yourself all alone. Aaron, come join us. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha ye'er Adonai p'nav elecha v'yichunecha yisa Adonai p'nav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you and protect you. The Lord cause light from his face to shine upon you. The Lord show favor to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you his shalom in the name of Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Shabbat shalom.